the very problem you're in to make his unique presence known.
Dr. Tony Evans says even in the dark times, we need to keep trusting the Lord and fearing him.
The question of fearing God is, will you believe his word when the circumstances are contrary to you?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most of us have experienced a sleepless night where it seems like morning will just never arrive. Periods of our life can be like that too, but Dr. Evans says we can find treasure even in the darkest times. Let's join him as he explains.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The fear of the Lord is your stability and treasure in difficult times." That the way you stabilize life when it is tumultuous, uncertain, and difficult, the equalizer, he says, is the fear of God. We've studied that in the book of Malachi when we talked about taking God seriously. That's the definition of fearing God. It means taking God seriously as opposed to casually. When it's smooth, it's easy to take God seriously because there's nothing competing for your emotions. This well-known story in Mark chapter 6 comes at the end of Jesus feeding the 5,000. He comes at the end at verse 44. Jesus has taken some sardines and crackers and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So that means he's fed close to 20,000 people with sardines and crackers. Keep that in mind. Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with some sardines and crackers. And you thought you were Poe. Verse 45 starts off with the word immediately. In other words, right after the need was met, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida while he was himself sending the crowd away. Jesus gives the benediction. He's sending the crowd away. And watch this now. He made his disciples. Didn't ask, didn't request, didn't instruct. He insisted. You guys go across the water to the other side while I take care of dismissing the crowd. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain, verse 46 says, to pray. He sends them away. He gives the benediction. And he says to them, "I'll catch up with you later." He goes to the mountain to pray. A problem arises in verse 47. When it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth hour watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. Now, I could go for an extended amount of time right there. Let's review. These disciples were only in the water because Jesus made them go in. This was not a volunteer trip. This was an insisted trip. Jesus made them get in the water to take the boat to the other side. What's my point? I'm saying these disciples were in the perfect will of God. They weren't carnal. They weren't rebelling. They weren't resisting. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said, "Get in the boat, go to the other side." But when they got in the boat to go to the other side, a storm broke out. A storm broke out in the middle of God's will. Some people would say, "Well, if you're in God's will, it won't rain. If you're doing what God told you to do, there'll be no storm." Sometimes you haven't seen rain until you're in the will of God. They are smack dab in the will of God, doing exactly what God told them to do, and a storm breaks out. It says they were straining at the oars. you know, straining, grunting and groaning. In other words, they were trying hard to obey. They weren't just casually saying, if I do it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. It says they were straining. Straining means they were exerting extra energy to get where they were going. In other words, they were trying to obey. Have you ever been trying to obey and being resisted by your circumstances? It's not that you don't want to do what God wants you to do. It's just so hard. I'm just straining. I'm just trying to get there. I'm trying to obey you. I'm trying to bring my emotions intact. I'm trying not to do what you asked me not to do. And it's hurting me because I'm straining trying to be a good Christian. I'm trying with all I've got. It says they were straining at the oars. It says they were straining at the oars in the middle of the sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 7 miles or so across. It says they were in the middle. That means they're 3.5 miles over. Now, watch this. If you're halfway to your destination, where you're supposed to go, but you're stuck, because you're straining, and we're told why they were straining, it says, for the wind was contrary to them. In other words, their efforts to do what God told them to do was being resisted by circumstances out of their control. They couldn't control the wind. And every time they grunted and groaned to try to get where they were supposed to go, they were being resisted by circumstances out of their control. God, how am I going to obey you when I'm being resisted and I can't change the thing that's resisting me? I can't control the boss. I can't control the economy. I can't control the soil. I can't control. All I can do is do the best I can with these oars. And my best isn't good enough. Now, if you're stuck in the middle, if you're Malcolm in the middle, if you're stuck in the middle and you're straining, because the wind is contrary to you. It means the wind's blowing one way and you're trying to row this way. But the wind, the circumstances are contrary, are resisting you. Then the temptation is to turn it around so the wind can push you back and you don't have to go through all this. Has anybody ever thought about turning around and going back? Because this obeying Jesus is too hard. It's obeying Jesus is rough because the harder I row, the stronger the wind gets. And it's contrary to me. Oh, but it gets worse. He says it was the fourth watch. The fourth watch is 3 to 6 a.m. In other words, it's dark. You can't see. So they're out there. When he dismisses them, he dismisses them in the daytime because the crowd has been there listening to him teach. They didn't have a place that was lit. So they have been out there now. If the fourth watch is 3 to 6 in the morning and it was daylight when he sent them out there, they've been struggling for a minute, trying to make it, trying to do exactly what God asked them to do. And now it's dark. So they're in God's will, doing the best they can, and not getting anywhere. For the wind was contrary to them. But we're introduced to a very subtle statement. It says, seeing them straining at the oars. It says, seeing them straining at the oars. See, I could tell somebody missed that because if you'd heard it, you'd have said amen. Seeing them straining at the oars. Wait a minute. I just thought I read Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus, they are 3.5 miles out. It's dark. But Jesus, seeing them straining at the oars. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus knows where you are. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows you're trying the best you can. He knows you're giving it all you've got. He knows that the wind is stopping you from getting to where you want to go. He knows you're considering turning around. It says he was watching them straining. He was watching them going, He was seeing the tears that run down the eyes. He was feeling the pain and the anguish of being out there that long and being tired. He knew what it was like to be halfway and stuck. What I'm trying to say is he knows where you are. Why was he watching them in the dark? You see, when it's dark and it's midnight in your life, and you're just doing the best you can, you're straining as hard as you can, you're doing all you can, but you're getting nowhere, nothing is breaking for you. Jesus is acutely aware of where you are.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with more about Jesus' presence during our trying times. First, though, I want to let you know that what you're hearing today is part of a message collection called Treasures in the Darkness that explores ways to find help when you're helpless, maximize your potential, and plant the seeds of a more fulfilling future. We want to help you unlock those powerful biblical secrets, so we're offering CDs and instant downloads of all 5 full-length lessons in this set with our thanks for your gift toward Tony's ministry. Along with it, we'll include Tony's short but power-packed book, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior, as a special bonus. This is a limited-time offer, so be sure to contact us today at tonyevans.org to make your contribution and your request. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are standing by around the clock to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you after part 2 of today's lesson. Once again, here's Tony.
We're told something in this passage. It says he went up to the mountain to pray. The Bible calls Jesus our great high priest. A high priest intercedes between God and the people. It says he went out to pray. Now the question is, what is he praying? That's the question. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 22, Jesus told Peter, he says, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. You're going to deny before the rooster has alerted you to a new day. You will have denied me 3 times. But then he says, I pray for you. And then he tells them what he prayed for, that your faith fail not. Let me tell you what Jesus is praying for you and for me and for us. That even though it's dark, even though you don't see any answer, even though the solution is nearby, even though it's pitch black, even though you can't see Jesus, even though Jesus sees you, he's praying that your faith fail not. That the toughness of the situation doesn't cause you to turn the boat around. That the toughness of the situation doesn't cause you to give up. That the toughness of the darkness of the moment doesn't make you throw in the towel. Jesus' prayer is that your faith fail not. Notice what the verse says. And this is sweet. You can live with this one. At the end of verse 48, he came to them walking on the sea. Okay, I want to say that real slow. He came to them walking on the sea. Now, he told them to go to the other side. They could have argued, let's go back to Jesus. Because Jesus stayed on the land. But if they went back to Jesus, they would have had to disobey Jesus. Because he told them, keep going to the other side. But what verse 48 says is, he came to them. But it tells you more than that he came to them. It says he came to them walking on the water. Let me say that one more time. He came to them walking on the water. Now I know you're asking, you say, why do you keep repeating that? That he came to them walking on the water. Because I thought the water was the problem. I thought I thought the water was the issue. I thought the water was causing the conflict because there was a storm and they were straining and the water was the problem. In other words, he came to them on the very problem they were dealing with. Do you know why you shouldn't turn your boat around? When you're in God's will, doing the best you can, because your problem may very well be the staircase that God uses to make his entrance known to you. In other words, God may need the problem to take the trip. Because trust me, if somebody is walking on water, you know that ain't normal. If somebody is walking on water, you know that's not natural. If somebody is walking on water, you know something supernatural is going on. That God can use the very problem you're in to make his unique presence known. The worst thing you can do is box God in to how you think he ought to come through for you. The worst thing you can do is box God in and think that if he's going to show up, it must be like this. Because that's the only thing my mind can conceive of. They could not conceive that he would show up walking on the very problem that was causing them the very difficulty that they wanted to get out of. Jesus came to them on the problem and they couldn't imagine. They thought it was a ghost. Jesus speaks up. He says in verse 50, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, wait a minute. There is a storm. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. He spoke, but there's still a storm. In other words, he calmed them down with his word before he changed their circumstance. He let them hear his word before he changed their situation. It is I. We said that the treasure, Isaiah 33:6, is the fear of God. We are afraid of the wrong thing. We give more weight to the circumstance than to the God who can walk on it. Turn your Bibles back 2 pages to Mark 4, a similar story, verse 35. And on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. See, let's go over to the other side. This time he's with them. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. See, it's the same situation. And the waves were breaking over the boats, so that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He got up and rebuked the wind and the sea. Hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? While Jesus is napping, the storm breaks out. The Greek word is lilac. A lilac is a windstorm over in the Sea of Galilee. It roughs the water up because the Sea of Galilee is in a basin surrounded by mountains. And the sea whipped up the storm, and the storm was tumultuous. And they looked over, and the Savior they're trusting in is snoring. Have you ever felt Jesus snoring on you? You in a crisis and he's asleep. You're not hearing anything from heaven. In fact, they go over to him and say, teacher, carest thou not that we're dying? And it feels like that sometimes when you're in the middle and everything is contrary and you can't make contact and you're right smack dab in the will of God because he told you to get in the boat. They wake him up and say, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus said, why are you so timid? Why you want to give up on me this quick? Why are you so timid? I can hear Peter now. Oh, maybe because we're getting ready to die. The boat's filling up with water, Jesus. Now, on the face of it, that would sound insensitive. Well, the boat's filling up with water. It looks like we could drown. You're asleep. We're doing what you ask us to do. In other words, none of this makes sense. It doesn't compute. It doesn't fit my theology class in the Kingdom Agenda Bible Institute. This does not compute. Why would Jesus say to them, "O ye of little faith"? Because before they left, he said, "Let us go to the other side." They were probably saying, like you do in church, "Amen, other side, other side, other side. Other side, other side, we're going to get to the other side." Because Jesus said, "Other side, other side, other side." But their circumstance, the storm, made them forget what Jesus had said. The question of fearing God is, will you believe his word when the circumstances are contrary to you? Will you believe what he said when things are not working out like he said? The only reason you won't believe it is because it looks like the circumstances are bigger than he is.
If you're struggling through a storm in your life and it's getting harder to believe that God is bigger than your situation, we encourage you to pursue a deep personal connection with Jesus Christ. Dr. Evans has a wealth of great resources that can help you do that. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. There, he'll talk about what it means to have a real relationship with the Lord, to be 100% sure about your eternal future, and to face each day with Christ right there with you. Drop by TonyEvans.org today and check it out. And while you're there, don't forget to ask about that special double offer I mentioned earlier. All 5 full-length versions of the messages in Tony's current series, Treasures in the Darkness, on CD and digital download, along with his short book, 30 Days to Overcoming Addictive Behavior. They're yours as our gift and appreciation for your donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get all the details before time runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center is open 24/7. That's 1-800-800-3222. Sometimes life gets so stormy that we wonder if we're going to make it through. But Dr. Evans says even when things are at their worst, there's something much bigger at work than the storm. Find out more when you join us tomorrow. Right now, though, he's back to close our program with a word of prayer.
I want to take a moment and pray for those who are struggling right now, listeners who are going through difficult times and who need God's special grace, mercy, or comfort in light of the challenges you're facing. Let's pray. Father, right now, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are hurting in some way right now, who are going through something in their personal life or family life, or just struggling with life in general, and who need the comfort of God, the provision of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to sustain them during this time of trial or difficulty. May you comfort them with comfort that blows their mind. Will you show that grace is all sufficient for wherever they are and for whatever they need? And may the encouragement that comes from the Holy Spirit ease their pain, lower their stress, and give them the ability to get up and keep going until their change comes. And we pray their change will come sooner than later, and that they will experience you and be able to say like Job, "They've heard about you with the hearing of the ear, but now they've seen you with their own eyes." And we pray this in the name of the risen Christ, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.